Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 76.
78. I labeled it there.
78. Close. Close.
The 8 kind of looks like a 6 to be, you know, just to give you the benefit of doubt, right?
That's right. True. So. That's right. 78. Yep. Well, it's been a minute since we've run a podcast, so we'll address that here for a second. We were trying to make it so that the podcast would always occur at the exact same time every week so that fans of the podcast could tune into the podcast wherever they would like to, and they knew exactly when it was going to happen. Sadly, we were unable to do that because Blonde is basically involved. His job is completely obnoxious. He works like 6 days a week, 12-hour shifts. Ridiculous, right? So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to do the podcast wherever we can, usually on what do we say, Wednesdays and Fridays at like 8 p.m. CST, roughly, yes. Somewhere in there, mm-hmm. Where we can on Twitch, but it will always come out on YouTube on Saturday mornings. Okay. It'll always come out on YouTube on Saturday mornings, or just on Saturday in general. So, and I love how I bet notes in post going, okay, apparently it is. But like, that's, you know, it'll always come out on YouTube at the exact same time so that people can kind of appreciate the podcast. Now, another thing I do want to address about the podcast is, guys, we love your comments. Oh, we do love your comments on the podcast. It's great. That being said, guys, the idea of a podcast like this is to have a discussion about things that are going on in the game. Those discussions work a lot better when Blonde and myself and Jay are not necessarily always agreeing on everything. So, in the interest of good discussion, there's a lot of times where we take much stronger stances on things than we probably would, just so that we can help represent that side of the argument a little bit better. You know, devil's advocate. Now, I can't necessarily speak for Blonde, but like, you know, when you're sticking up for a certain group of people or how you think a certain group of people might feel, you know, like you're trying to represent them. But in the comments, guys, please don't go super hard on Blonde, or like, you could go hard on me, that's fine, or Jay or whatever. But like,
for me, yeah, I love, yeah.
Okay, Jay's just a bottom, so he loves it. That being said, like, guys, yeah, don't attack people's characters or do calls to violence. Yes, calls to violence over a discussion about what's happening in Black Desert Online. It's really good for you to be like, Blue is an idiot, Blonde is 100% correct about this, and then state your reasoning. That's fine, all right? Or vice versa, right? That's amazing. That's the kind of discussion we're trying to spark here. But like, don't be calling people restarted and like trying to tell them to, you know, do crazy stuff. If you disagree with what one of them says. Also, yeah, Blonde and I do, we get heated sometimes. We do talk over each other from time to time. But like, again, we're still friends, I think. Pretty sure we're still friends. 50% sure we're still friends, right? Like, it's all in good fun. Like, the podcast is meant to spark this discussion. Sometimes we get heated in those discussions. It doesn't mean that we hate each other. You have to pick a side and you have to crusade for that side. Okay. That being said, it's been a minute since we've done a podcast, so we have a lot to talk about. First, we're going to do intros. I'm Blue Squadron, as usual. My boy Blonde.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear. I just recently returned home from the Texas Oasis from Black Desert, and I've been talking about that a little bit on my stream, as well as I primarily stream when we're doing our deposed Crown Prince boss attempts. You can usually catch me there clearing it with my team. We're on our second clear of the week attempts. We basically had it today. We just kind of ran out of time. So pretty fun stuff there. We're like one of the only 3 teams, at least on a guild ranking, that's clearing it. So, yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah, that's sick. That's absolutely sick. Yeah, there's only like a few teams, like a handful of teams that I think have cleared it since it actually came out. Gosh, like 8 months ago now. It's literally insane. And my boy Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon of VT, V before the T. I do a lot of end game content such as Olin's, party boss splits, dungeons. I'm also in Blonde Bear's group, so you can also find the POV of Awakening Wusa for all deposed prince. And I've also been spending a lot of time playing Monster Hunter Wild. It just came out last week. And so you can find me over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT before the T.
Right on. Yeah, so we've been all up in it. And honestly, I think we've changed how we've played BDO over the last, you know, year and a half or so. A few of us have changed, like all of us have changed kind of the way that we kind of approach the game. I have literally only been doing my Iron Man as far as active BDO, like playtime goes, I basically AFK fish on the NA account, and then I play my SEA Ironman all the time. So I grind. I'm grinding more than I have in 5 years.
But, yeah, I was going to say, unironically, I think that literally just the boss blitz prince attempts is like a majority of my stream time. I don't think I haven't like been casually grinding on stream or anything at all. It's literally just been prince attempts every week. We do like anywhere between 4 to 6 hours. That's like all my stream time right now.
Yeah, it's just that. Well, interesting. Interesting that we say we're constantly changing our gameplay because now we have the 9th anniversary. For those of you guys that don't know, and this is the 9th anniversary for BDO coming out in the West, a lot of people were confused. They're like, wait, didn't we just celebrate the 10th anniversary? Yes, we did, guys. We did indeed. All year they reminded us 10th anniversary, only to roll around to 2025 in March and have Jay He Kim march us back to the 9th anniversary again. It's the 9th anniversary in the West, of it releasing in the West. So... and usually, traditionally, the anniversary event is supposed to be the biggest event of the year, like events-wise, and like. But it hasn't been that way the last 2 or 3 years now. And this anniversary event, though, I think has done a lot better job, and we'll talk a little bit about it. There's a number of events that have kind of gone on. I'll let Jay kind of list out the events, and then let us know what your favorite is, and then we'll go to Blum.
The event list of events. Well, there was this
He's like, yeah,
there was a
the
stream,
events.
Right? Yeah, was... yeah. Yeah. We had the anniversary stream on March 3rd. It went on for like 3 or 4 hours, and there was a lot of community representation. I noticed that this year's anniversary has put a lot of focus on the community. There's a lot of like puzzles. There was some wheelbarrow racing. There was some sort of like rock, paper, scissors kind of like action with the Ranger and the Dark Knight. I don't know if you guys watch that. And also always the community sort of like quiz kind of shows that they've been doing recently. And I think it had Kiara, Rapalus, who was it? Cizane, Moshi, Blade NZ. It was a fun. It's always a fun time. It was always a hilarious time whenever they come up. But yeah, I noticed that this year has been very, very like community focused. And they also had this sort of, what is it? Kind of like an ARG. I don't know if you guys know what an ARG is, but sort of like out of game experience with puzzles that the community has been kind of trying to figure out lately. And I always love those kinds of puzzles. I haven't been like looking into it too much, but I heard it was the GMs have been giving me like hints every day of how to figure out like the next part. It kind of reminds me of Mysteries of Summer almost. I miss that a lot, but maybe this is kind of like a throwback to Mysteries of Summer, is when they're doing these kinds of events where you have to go out of your like out of the game to figure out stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think that's always one of my favorite events. I ran Mysteries of Summer in summer this year, and I gave away a Dark Knight statue for it. The event, like, I had more engagement on that event than had, like, period. Like, that event got crazy engagement, and like the Discord and adventures going out and going on adventures. One of the cooler events that I've put on is to send people on like a riddle adventure to go out and explore the world in maybe a way that they've never really thought about before. Before I give my two piece on the rest of it, Blonde, what's your favorite event?
I was going to say, actually, I had just been at Texas like all week, so I actually haven't seen any of the events or anything. I've been trying to take care of some IRL stuff, so I actually haven't looked. I did see that there was like a hint of the Mysteries of Summer, but it wasn't like a traditional one. It was more like a puzzle game, so that's probably going to be my pick, because anything related to that. Listen, as long as it's not the Rock Look Deep again, I'm pretty sure I would love
Rock Look Deep. Oh my God.
Basically any of that stuff, but I haven't actually had the chance to look into it yet.
Yeah,
that was a crazy time.
I've explained Rock.
If you were there,
Deep,
you know. If you know, you know.
No. You explain this. I've explained it many times, but TLDR is, they used to put on this really cool event every year called Mysteries of Summer. Now we have like wish.com version of that this year, which is
wish.
Great and everything.
No.
It's great and everything, but it's not as good. So back then, guys, the prize, it was kind of like Ready Player One, if anybody's familiar with that book series or has watched the movie, right? It basically, you would be presented with a riddle to start your quest, and then that quest would send you on an adventure out in the world where you would find hidden platforms or different things that like shouldn't have been there, but like you found them first, like kind of more remote locations.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to interact with that stuff and like do things that would unlock the next part of the quest line. And you would, like, the first one to get to the end of the quest line and follow the breadcrumbs got something very exclusive, whether it be a black T9 Pegasus, which of which I believe only two or three were ever handed away on North America. Two of those accounts were banned, as far as I'm aware, and only one actually exists, and I don't think that, that person is playing the game anymore. But EU, I think their Black Pegasus still exists because they actually follow the rules. That being said, you could also get like a custom merchant ring, I believe, one time. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was called the Lion's Ring.
Yeah, the only one to ever exist.
It was called Lion's Ring, and it was basically... Yeah, it was basically a red version of the Rich Merchant's Ring, which looked really, really cool. They don't stack, if you guys were wondering. So if you had the Merchant's Rings or the Lion's Ring, they don't they don't stack the effect, but it's still...
Could you imagine winning that?
I don't know if that person's still playing.
And then wanting to get the Merchant Ring and then realizing it was useless?
I know.
That would have been crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean a lot of us do, you know, things in the game that we don't necessarily do for something that's worth it, like the LVI, right, Blombear?
It was 100% worth it.
I see.
It was extremely worth it. I'm the only one.
Well, regardless, only one, at the end of the day, that's what it kind of was. And the Rock Look Deep comes from one year, the final year that they did it. One of the riddles led you to something that said, it was some, I forget what the name of the riddle was, but the answer to the riddle ultimately ended up being Rock Look Deep. And it was the most cancer, terribly designed, horrible
riddle.
It was
very convoluted.
Listen, it was because it was in Medaya. You had to go to Tariff. It told you to look at a board or a screen, and on that screen it had the stonemason symbol, the G, the Freemason symbol, sorry. And it was like a G with like a little compass thing. And I guess you were supposed to know to hit G to open up your guild tab menu to find a guild by a GM. But like, we're looking at it, so then we're going into conspiracy theories, looking up stuff about Freemasons and like the government conspiracy stuff and all this other crazy stuff, and trying to figure out like, what does this mean? Not the fact that it's just the G key on your keyboard. You had to press G to open up the guild finder menu, but everybody's also in a guild, so how would you know to look up you're not in a guild page to search guilds, because the G function doesn't do that unless you're not in a guild. So like,
it was so convoluted.
Crazy. Yeah. I don't know how people figured it out. They had to give out like 5 hints, I think, because they couldn't get it.
Like, my understanding is that people just randomly guessed words. Like, they had like a generator. It was on the official website.
I could have sworn it was so Bond was explaining it was on like the G, it was on like a the adventure board for like their guild page.
Yeah.
And the answer was on the guild page of the GM's guild.
It was.
Right?
It was posted something. I just don't know. Something like I just don't know how you would have figured out to go to the guild. You wouldn't have. I think they had to give like 10 hints or something before we because everybody, it took like, I think, 2 whole days of us looking through everything and nobody was close at all. That was funny.
Well, all that being said, the community managers were like, screw this, we're never doing this again after the backlash that came from that horrible incident, and they still have never brought it back. This is like their wish.com version of that when they brought it back. Mine was my event, the Renaissance Fair, which, by the way, that art is from the Black Desert Renaissance. Right there.
Oh, damn.
You want to see we'll take a second. You want to see like the community? So you can see these two pretty clearly.
Yeah, let's take a look. Oh, don't drop it.
Oh, shoot. He's literally lifting it up.
Big, bro.
Oh, damn.
Bro, look at
it. That's so cool.
It's got every class in the game. It's even got Basil.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
At the bottom, I'm looking at my Dark Knight as usual, rank 1 Gooner. You know? Like
oh, my God. You're right in the middle. Right I could see the bald head.
Yeah,
it's very noticeable.
Sick. Anyway, like the BDO Renaissance Fair had... multiple aspects to it, but it had the Mysteries of Summer, which was pretty cool because it gave away a Dark Knight. I gave away a Dark Knight statue.
That's awesome.
Which was pretty sweet. And again, it was meant to just like as a throwback to that really cool event. So I think it's really cool that they're bringing that back. As far as like the cool events that I think that they've put on here, I just want to say to the CMGM team, and I messaged them personally about this, I thought that they're anniversary stream that went on a few days ago was the best that I have seen in years. I think that anniversary stream was incredibly good. I think it engaged the entire community. People were having a lot of fun, giving like, especially like giving the streamers shit in the chat, and like the way that they were bouncing off ideas with chat, and the way they were engaging the chat with the various activities that they did was awesome. Also, let's talk about the quiz section for a second. Okay. I told chat earlier, I was like, I've never been defeated in a BDO trivia, like, or a BDO like Jeopardy contest, because I've done it like 3 or 4 times now. Jay, can you please explain to me what happened when I got called on to your Jeopardy show and I was playing against Blonde and I think one other person. Jay's your
Jay's turned into a robot.
Jay, are you good? We're losing him.
They're hacking into his mainframe.
We're losing him. Old? Honestly, Blonde, you can explain what happened. Blonde, what happened? Because you were there.
What happened?
Hello? I'm back.
Okay, never mind. Jay's back.
Sorry, I just had to unplug and plug my mic.
He had to put his batteries in. He had new batteries he got to put in.
Yeah. Ravens, thanks for the rain.
If you guys don't know, I held a community Jeopardy game show called Pen or Pry, and it was season 2 with Blue Squadron, Blonde, and Fake Uni. And Blue, like, I thought Blonde was going to crush it. Like, I kind of favored, I was like leaning towards Blonde. And then Blue just came out of nowhere, just knowing everything. And I was like, what?
Completely just destroyed. And that happens every time. That's the funny thing is that every time I've been on a game show like that, everybody thinks I'm going to clown it. And then I absolutely obliterate everyone. And I want to point out.
What's that term called? Subvert expectations? I think that's what
it is. Yeah, exactly.
That was something weird. That was like some Ultra Instinct kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody thought it was like this Slumdog Millionaire thing. I'm like, no, this happens every time. Yeah. Like, come on, I promise I've played the game. But like they had this like this quiz show where the NA partners were beating the EU partners. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would have beaten both teams put together. Bro, I don't know if you guys saw it. Every question that got asked, it was almost embarrassing. Every single question, the partners were like, we have no idea what the we have no. Like, there were so many questions that couldn't even be answered. Like, literally couldn't even be answered. And like, we're all like, bro, these are our partners, bro. What is happening? Now, to their credit.
They don't
credit,
play the game. Oh.
Yeah. To their credit, Foibs actually did answer. I think the lore and like the quest one, I'm not going to know anything about lore and quest. So they're like two categories about those. I would never have known any of those because like it's not my thing, right? Maybe Blonde or Jay might be able to answer those, but I Foibs showed decent mastery of the game because like she was able to answer some of the questions. I mean, dude, it's not like their questions are incredibly hard. They're asking like, yo, this alchemy recipe, what does this alchemy recipe go to? What does this cooking recipe go to? Basic stuff, King of Jungle Hamburg, Armor Drought, stuff like that. But if you've ever made this stuff like I have, like, cause that's how I play the game. For a long time, I was like a do-it-yourselfer. I would just life skill and I would create things. And like, I knew what the recipes were for stuff. And that's why I have all the guides on it. Why I wrote all the guides on this nowadays. But like, dude, they didn't know anything. They literally knew none of these. I mean, C-Zane got asked a direct question. What are the repair materials used for upgrading a barricade in Node War? And he couldn't answer the question. Guy's been doing Node Wars for 5 years. Like literally 5 years, this guy has been doing Node Wars, couldn't answer the question. I'd have kicked him from the guild. On God, I'd have kicked him from the guild. Not even a question, bro. It was super pega.
Wasn't it like iron ingots or something to upgrade your barricade?
How does Jay know? How does Jay know C-Zane doesn't? Jay is like the PvE guy. It's iron ingots and melted copper. Iron ingots and melted copper. It used to be that everything upgraded from different materials in Node Wars. Then they standardized it all to iron ingots and melted copper. And then it's just polished stone to upgrade the fort. That's it. Like, he should know that. Like, obviously you should know that. He's like, I only kill people. Nope, dude. But like that's the kind of stuff we were dealing with. That being said, even though the partners didn't know the answers to the question, and that was kind of embarrassing, it was still a super fun thing because chat was just dogging on them. You know what I mean? Like, it was still
was
really engaging
so
for everybody. Yeah, everybody was still having a great time. Like, even though the partners didn't know anything, it's like, whatever. Everybody was still having a great time. It kept us all very engaged. And I thought that CMs did a great job running that event. Big shout out to Envlave and Etsu for dressing up for the event. Bro, they were in suits.
I know.
I know for a fact
good.
That Etsu didn't even own a suit. Bro, when I shoutcasted with Etsu both years that I shoutcasted with Etsu, he didn't even own a tie. Okay? Much less a suit. You crazy. That dude doesn't own anything, bro. He's getting paid, bro. He getting upgraded, bro. Maybe they just loaned it to him. But like, they looked good. So I loved it, that event personally. But yeah. I think that also 90% drop rate. What the hell?
That's a lot of drop rate.
No, it's not. Bro, we got more drop rate than that like 2 months ago for the ball.
I think what they could do for, I feel like nowadays we kind of max out on drop rate because we have so many buffs nowadays. I feel like for these like big events, they should increase the max drop rate to like 400%. I don't know how impactful that would be for the thing, but it's I think we're gone to the point where the drop rate events don't feel like drop rate events anymore. They just feel like, oh, I can save my drop rate items. Like I have so many drop rate items that like I can max out until like the next like
I think I'm using all of our
six drop rate events.
I think I'm using all of our quote unquote drop rate event stuff for the AP buff for Prince attempts more than I am using it to grind because we have so many that
I
it's like
20 bourbon.
Oh, it's got like five AP here, 10 AP there. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to use that on Prince because like I don't need the drop rate. We always have a drop rate event. Like, why do I need that?
Bro. So yeah, I think that the drop rate event could have been a little bit stronger, but you know, it is what it is. I guess it's the 9th anniversary, 90% drop rate.
Right.
But yeah, it is what it is. I think the anniversary events this time around were better than they were last year, but they're still not where they were in 2018, 2019.
Yeah, I think, what was it again? They gave away like Tri Ogres during the 2018 or something like that. And Tri Ogres were like, what? People were buy ordering them for like 7 billion back in the day. Because it was, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk.
No. That was all I was going to say. It was that the people were pre-ordering them for like 7 billion back in the day. It was insane.
They didn't just give them away. And that's what made the event fun for us. So that event was basically, it was a 4 week long event, guys. And the first week you could grind, each week there were four different grind zones that you had to go grind. And you had to grind a lot of it. Like you had to grind at least 2 to 3 hours in order to get all of the event stuff you needed to try to do your attempts. Okay. Cause you had to do attempts on a duo. You were guaranteed a duo, yellow accessory, which was already big. And if you got lucky, you had like a 30% chance at getting a tri accessory. If you grinded for 2 to 3 hours every single day, the whole event, the whole week, you had a 30% chance of getting the tri version, right? And this went on for 4 weeks. So presumably, if you were average luck, you would come away with like one tri accessory, and the rest you would have a bunch of duo accessories. You'd have the ogre, the bassy, the crescent, and I forget which earring. I think tongue rat earring. Is what they handed away. I grinded every day for all 4 weeks and ended up with four duos. So me, but you know what?
Yeah, some
that
people
was
were
one
just
of the most memorable events. That was so much fun. I loved that event. It almost forced me to grind too much, bro. I was hardcore grinding for that because that stuff was, it was hard to get back then, man. It was hard. And then the year before that, the second anniversary was the first time they ever gave away a rolly box for boss gear, and that's the Pen Kudum that I still have on the account that is C20 to this day. It was my very first piece of boss gear on the account. And then shortly after that, I bought my Trizarka off the marketplace. I sniped it because DK had just been nerfed and everybody was jumping ship. And I sniped one off the marketplace shortly after that, but I got the Kudum first, which was pretty cool. But like, I remember those anniversary events. They were impactful. And then the next year's anniversary event, they gave away a bundle that had, and this is some lore here. And I'm sure that Blonde and Jay remember because it was like back-to-back events where like we had like the New Year's events that had the same rolly box. Then we had the anniversary event that basically had the same rolly box. And in this rolly box, you were guaranteed to get a piece of boss gear, but it also included Vel's and Garmoth's heart. Okay.
Garmoth, yes.
And it was like 10% chance to get a Garmoth's heart or a Vel's heart. Okay. So what people were doing.
It's a pretty good chance, yeah.
Yeah. So what people did is they would just make a new account, redeem the code, roll the box, sell whatever they got, and then they would do this until they got the Garmoth's heart, and then they would try to sell the Garmoth's heart to themselves. So in order to go around this, now you see there's like a limiting like clause on every single rolly box. You have to have finished the main storyline in order to get this box, in order to prevent people from doing that because of those events, which I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. This was also back in the day when the Central Marketplace was not the Central Marketplace. It was, what was it called? I can't remember, but it was before Central Marketplace. So you had to like kind of like snipe buy orders. And I remember during that new, I can't remember if it was New Year's or anniversary, but I just remember spending 12 hours straight just trying to buy order at Garma's Heart, and I did. I managed to snipe one off like 3 a.m. in the morning because people were still like rolling their boxes and selling it on the market back when it was like 500 mil for a Garma's Heart. And so that's my first Garma's Heart that I'm still using to this day, which is insane. And I don't know if they'll ever bring back any of those kinds of events where you just guarantee the heart anymore. It's kind of like bundles that have a chance to get those hearts.
Highly, highly doubt it. Now after the 9th anniversary events and stuff, there was also a dev note that we should talk about.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Okay. Out of 10, I want your raw take and then I'll let you guys explain it. Out of 10, take the whole dev note. Okay. Give me a rating out of 10 about how you thought the dev note went. We'll start with Jay and then end with Blonde. Actually, you know what? Blonde hasn't spoken in a while. Blonde, give us your rating and why you're giving it that rating. Out of 10, I assume you've seen the dev note.
I have no idea what you're talking about. The one I remember one a month ago or something. Is there a new one that recently came out?
The one 2 weeks ago. It came out 2 weeks ago. I have the
one that goes over the hardcore servers. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's the hardcore servers plus the Ataraxian dungeon plus what else did they talk about in there?
All-in-one preset and new outfits, I think.
All-in-one presets were mentioned. And then, the new outfits. Okay, so out of 10, we'll start with Jay while Blonde does his little research on it. Jay, what would you give the dev note out of 10?
Out of 10, kind of like a 6 for me. 6-3. I felt like the dev commentary... It's always having some sort of, I don't know. I feel like there could be a bingo card at this point, but there's always like a, we're sorry, something's delayed or something like that. This is not going as planned. And so I kind of, and also PvP stuff, I'm not the biggest into PvP stuff. The only redeeming thing in there was the Ataraxian dungeon. But also I have to mention that the last dungeon we got was freaking 4 years ago, 2020. Was it 2021? It was so long ago that we got the last one that getting the next one, it didn't feel as good. It's like, I'm happy that we're getting it, but I don't know why it took this long to to get it. And so, kind of like a 6 or 7 for me, not like the biggest one. Not the most hyped for.
6 out of 10. Right on. Yeah, it makes sense. Blonde, based on what you guys are...
I was going to just mirror everything that Jay said, basically that, but there was one specific line in there that really triggered me and a few friends of mine. They said, there was one line where they said,
here we go. Yes, sir. I know exactly. Hold on. Can I type it on the screen before you say it? Close your eyes.
Yeah, go for it. I'm not looking. Close your eyes. I'm not looking.
We're waiting.
Just let me know when you want me to say it.
Okay, go ahead.
They said one line in there that really triggered me and a few friends. They said, we are done focusing on group content. We feel like we've done enough group content. And that really, really bothered me. Because when I look at like a lot of the content, I agree Boss Blitz, I think, has been a hit. And it's been very good and successful and fun. But it wasn't the fact that, like... We talked about like the Gyphon spot, we talked about trees, and people have, I mean, I feel like a lot of sentiment around the group of friends that I play with are always like, man, more group grind spots. And I know the dungeon is like group content, but that phrase really, really, really upset me, because I think that more than anything, I think people, as much as there's some people that say, oh, you know, I want more stuff, I don't want to have to group with people. You don't have to do this, but there should be more of that content. And Dolan's 1, or Olin's, then Dolan's 2 is cool and all, but it's like Dolan's 2 was technically a downgrade in a lot of people's eyes, even though it was more accessible, it was problematic. And I just think that just more grouping together, like the pig thing could have been cooler, that ended up being an instance. And although we are getting the dungeon, and that is a good thing for like group stuff, and they are making the dungeons grindable, and that could be considered part of their quote-unquote group content they're working on, and for all we know they could have Gyphon and Miramach done and cooking and they're just waiting to release it, that could be something they're done with, that didn't feel expressly stated in that, and that really, really, really triggered me. Like, No, I'm not kidding. That it was like, I felt like it was like an 8 or 9 out of 10, because it's like, okay, hey, they're working on it. Hey, it's going to be delayed, but hey, they let us know instead of leaving us in the dark. Here's some stuff. Okay, cool. And then that just really brought it down a lot.
Yep. They said we've released plenty of party content, and I was, dude, I remember pausing the video and I was like, dude, they're just spoon feeding me content, because like that was the dumbest possible thing that they could have said. They haven't released a party grind zone, as far as I'm aware, since Olin's. Olin's 1 is the only grind zone that I'm aware of, that if you don't include Dekia Olin's, which is the same thing, but harder. But like, Olin's is the last group grind zone that I'm aware of that they've released in the game since then. And yeah, they've got like the group boss blitz, but like, that's it, bro. There's plenty of party grind. What a joke. My rating out of 10 is 4. And I, honestly, I might be being generous, giving it a 4. I understand I'm supposed to be the Doomer guy. But here's the deal. I think that, and you guys didn't talk about the hardcore servers, so I'll talk about it, and we'll see what people in the comment section on YouTube and then what my chat has to say about it. But I actually think that the hardcore servers are super well designed. I think that the hardcore servers look really, really polished and clean. They look like they're going to be fun. They've thought up a lot of different things. They added, like, and again, I have to think that it's based on keep in mind that there's going to be a but at the end of this sentence, but I have to think that most of this is based on like the community's feedback, because none of this existed like previously. The way that they pitched this to us, it was nothing like this. And then they were like, okay, yeah, we're going to add PvE monsters where you can grind for PvE stuff so that there's a competition for resources there. And then in order to keep people from grouping up, we're going to add aspects of Shadow Arena, where like the arena closes in around you, which I think is really good, and you fight to the death. That's pretty cool. There's like a leaderboard. There's going to be rewards and titles that you can get on your main account, right? Like that's all very, very good stuff. And then Jay had another thought. What if the world was ruled by a flaming lizard? No, but it was just as bad as that. It was, hey, we're only going, what if we only allowed 4 classes to play on the hardcore servers?
I was like, I don't play Warrior, Sork, Ranger, or Zerker. I'm like, huh? How am I gonna...
Cooked. Totally cooked. Like, here's the thing. Like,
it was like, wow, it was so good. 4 classes released. Huh?
Thank you. Thank you. DOA immediately. What? Dead on arrival immediately. Huh? It was
cut
like,
off 80% of the players from playing it.
That's
okay.
What I'm saying, dude. I just don't understand. Like, they had such a good, like, dude, and this is coming from the Doomer that isn't even partner from them. I'm like, W, looking good, looking good. We found
they
the L.
They had us in the first half.
Found the L, right? Like, we found the L at the end of the day. Like, guys, like, their excuse for doing it was, like, we didn't want to overwhelm players by forcing them to know all 28 classes or whatever that are in Black Desert. And I'm like, so you're going to force them to play on a new class and put them in an arena with somebody that's been playing it for 7 years?
Yeah, I feel like it was so weird, because it's like, now you're putting like experts in a prison cell with absolute noobs and novices, where they don't get to play it all day. They get to play it for 2 hours max of day, or however the time limit is.
Yeah.
And then you're screwed. So like, anybody that's an expert at whatever class you're choosing to play, if you run onto him in the streets, in the desert, whatever, you're done for, bro. You
it's
are
so good,
done
bro.
For. All I could say is, listen, if you guys don't know any of the classes, just play Zerker. You just grab them and you're good.
Dude,
like, you don't have to worry about anything.
Oh, is that how
super
that works?
Easy. Super easy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
okay, maybe I'll play Zerk then.
I can't wait for a new player. And there were these copers in the comment section that were like, well, I actually think it's going to encourage me to play Sork for the first time, because, you know, like, I'll be able to play it on the hardcore server and there's no punishment. I can't wait for that person to spawn in on Sork and have Choice go up to him saying, welcome to the Thunderdome. like, literally, and just roll them. It's not even going to be close, man. Like, I think that, like, at its bottom line, it actually is a pretty solid idea. It's a super solid idea, and I think that they executed it really well up until that point, and they have literally killed the content before it even hit the ground. Like, they're allowing 4 classes in it. It's Ranger, Sork, Berserker, and Warrior. Warrior. And like, I'm just going to point out that not very many people play those classes. Like, very, very few amount of people actually still main and play those classes. So it's a smaller amount of the player base, and they're difficult classes. Those are not easy classes to play at against like PvPers, right? They're not easy. Again, if they really wanted to make it for everybody, here's the thing. If you want to get new players into PvP, which I think the hardcore servers, that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to make it approachable, right? In an instance format where, like, there's not much, you know, you're not losing things necessarily on your main account for it, right? You're not losing grind time or anything like that. And make people excited about doing PvP, you need to allow people to play the class. They might not know all 28 classes in the game, but they know one, and that's enough for them to participate in the game mode. Like, that's just the truth, right? Like, a new player is going to log in. They're going to be like, I know my Mystic really well. And these classes, by the way, are beloved by these players. By every player loves their class, right? That's why they play the game. Because they found a class that they really enjoy. And forcing a player to play something that they don't enjoy is not a healthy way to introduce content to your game. It's just the truth. In my Choose Your Class guides, I literally tell people you should play the class that you find that looks the coolest. Everyone's going to tell you to play what's meta. No, you need to play what you find is the coolest, and then you'll attach yourself to that class more, and you'll play the game more as a result. You get more gains, you'll get your gear faster, and everything, right? Other classes might be marginally faster at grinding, but not in the early game. Early game, everybody's good at grinding. You're just one-shotting everything. That being said, you get to these hardcore servers, you can only play four classes at a time, and here's the thing. How long are we going to have to wait before Deadeye is available in there? If they're going to go by release date, by the way, here's a fun fact that I discovered today. If we're going to go by release date of the classes, we're going to do the starting classes four at a time first. Then we're going to go by the classes that released in order. Do you know which group Dark Knight's going to get to be with? Dark Knight, Mystic, oh, no. Striker. I can't wait.
Oh, man.
That's going to bend me over. What are we talking about? I'm going to get
the counter.
I'm sitting on a casting couch. Like, what are we doing? It just doesn't make sense.
Were Warrior, Ranger, and Zerker and Sork like the first four classes?
Launch classes with Witch Wizard, yeah, with Wizard Witch. Yeah.
Yep. I guarantee you, like, oh, again, it's going to be like, watch it be Wizard Witch, Mewamusa, or something on the next one.
Literally.
It'll be dead on arrival. It's no one's going to play it. That's the problem. And it's sad because they spent a lot of development time. It actually looks really polished if they allowed all the classes in the game. They've completely destroyed it. Before it's even hit the ground running, none of us are going to play it. I'm not even going to get to play it. You'll probably see Choice doing it. But, like, that's because he plays Berserker. And, like, he's going to gallop around and have no one to fight. There might be a few hundred people that try it the first time around, but it's very quickly going to die. And immediately no one is going to play it because there's just nothing to do. Like, people can't play the class that they want to play. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, that needs to be immediately reneged. Like, it's on the Global Labs right now. I double checked today with Biceptimus Prime's Global Lab patch notes. Yep, it's on the Global Labs. There's four classes. And I just want to point out, this is a disaster. This is a complete disaster of an idea. And I don't know how to get the message through to them. It literally, because the moment that they release this, even if they go back on it, they've already lost a lot of interest in the content. A lot of people are just immediately just not going to try it anyway, even if they renege on it at this point. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you do this? Anyway, I could go on about that forever. Ataraxian Dungeon looks pretty cool, right? Looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'll let Jay talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so there's going to be this sort of, they're adding the grind spots. I don't know if you guys know, it's 350 AP, 440 DP recommended is what they had mentioned in the video, which is really steep. But also, they also mentioned that the first three dungeons, Valmakia, Sakrakia, and Yolanakia, will also be getting some dungeon grinding zones in there, which will be scaling up. So Valmakia, I'm assuming, will be the lower requirement of the four, and then Sakrakia, Yolanakia, and then Orzechia. And then they mentioned that after Orzechia, I don't think we're fighting Elezra yet, but it's supposed to be like after Elezra, but she's going to be like the pinnacle boss after all of this. So that's pretty much it. It's getting towards the end of the storyline of Orz and the whole the last stronghold. But yeah, I'm excited. It comes out on March 20th, guys. 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks patches from now, that we're gonna get it. So I think our group Were we planning? I think they were planning to group up on the patch of, right,
for our group. On the release day.
We'll be streaming. We'll be streaming that morning of.
I'm down. Wait, you guys already have a full party, don't you?
We're doing our boss blitz group. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can do like a different group. We can do another.
I'm sorry, buddy. Listen, the boss blitz group. We can take down Prince. Right. We can take down anything.
In fairness, I don't even think I have the gear to do it, and that's going to be again.
Yeah, you got 350 AP on sheet.
Here's the thing. With Kudum on, by the way, if I put Nuver on,
yeah,
sure.
With the Kudum, no right, Nuver.
Like, but here's the deal.
No cheese here, sir.
This is the problem, and I'm curious what your guys' opinion is on this. And I'm also curious what the audience's opinion is on this. And this is why I give the dev note such a poor review. This is, again, the Atraxian dungeon looks phenomenal. Looks really good. Again, Jay, you're not wrong. It took them like 4 years. To come out like what a long time, yeah. But it looks really good, right? It looks mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be really fun for people to go do, and it's going to be super entertaining content for a lot of people, but not all the people. And that's the problem that I have. The gear requirement for this is almost 800 gear score, isn't it? It's 350.
It is, yeah, 790.
And, yeah.
440 DP.
Yeah, 440 DP and 350 sheet AP. Okay,
sheet AP.
And that's not counting hidden buffs. Okay, you need 350 sheet and 440. Keep in mind, I've been playing for 7 years. I have Wailing Fallen God on. I think that you would need full Wailing Fallen God with, like, the guys, 790 gear scores, full end game, like, Choice can do it. I think Jay can do it. Blonde might be a little under geared. Like, Blonde, are you 790? What are you now?
Yeah, I'm 790, brother. Hello.
Okay,
yeah,
so Blonde can do it, there, yeah. Right? But, like, I think that if you ask the average BDO player, they spend a tremendous amount of time doing this party, plenty of party content. They spend all this time developing this. It takes them 4 years, and they come out with it, and it's a 790 gear score cap. No one can even enjoy the content, bro. Less than 1% of the player base is going to be 790 year score in the West. Like, maybe that's slightly higher in Korea because they've had the game for 2 more years. But, like, even still, like, holy moly, that is way too high. And I know there's always going to be some comment, complain, classic Bling Squadron, complain that PvE content is not hard enough, and then complain when they put out hard PvE content.
That's crazy. You just, like, stole the words out of my mouth. How did you know I was going to...
Well, I want to be clear.
That's wild.
I want to be clear that the party boss blitz was really hard endgame content for people to do that even I can't really do, like, the hard one, right? But there's a version of it that I can do that is easier, right? The easier to pose Crown Prince, I can actually execute, right? But I can still enjoy the content. I can't do the endgame stuff yet, even though I'd love to, and there are more mechanics for it and all this cool stuff. I'd love to, and I'm not complaining about that. But the dungeon, there's no option. It's 790 or you don't get to do it. Right. And so that's my problem with it, is it could absolutely design it for end game content. Make 2 levels, make 1 level obnoxiously hard, like deposed Crown Prince levels of hard for the end game players that really want to try that. I think Blonde, you and Jay, I'll ask your opinion. Wouldn't you love that if it had extra mechanics?
Yes.
And like, it wasn't just it had extra 100%. Mechanics and it was so much harder. Right. Than like the normal version. In the normal version, you could do with like 720 year score.
I just want to say,
Blonde, go ahead.
The way that they're talking about this is it's not going to be like all the other dungeons where we have the Elvia mode, which is 350, and the normal mode, which is whatever the lower baby gear score requirement is. I know they haven't mentioned it, but every time we do the dungeons, we're always like, oh shoot, don't forget, we got to go in Elvia. They may have a normal mode for this, and just the allure is the 350 AP requirement. You may be right, and it might not, though, because they've only talked about this 350 AP requirement.
Yeah, they haven't mentioned anything,
So on one hand, they may have a normal mode and just not be saying it because the target audience is end game players, but on the other hand, I don't think that's such a bad thing. I do think that there should be stuff that is really high that you want to get to because that reward is so good, right? I think a lot of people push really hard to get to Dolan's 2, and even as easy and chill as it is a goal to strive for. Same thing with Prince. Like, I don't think prior to seeing Choices group clear Prince, I don't think our group thought we could have done it. And then seeing other groups do it, I'm like, this is something to strive for. Even some, it's we cool. still have some of our gear members that are still a little lower, that are still working on their gear, and it's a lot. It's a grind. They've been doing it for like 5 months, pushing their gear score. I think it's a good thing that it is so high and that it should be pushed. Personally, I do. Although I agree, it's not going to be done by almost anyone. You're going to see a handful of streamers and content creators do it. But then again, I also think that's content for people to be like, oh man, I'm watching this streamer do this thing. That's really cool. I'm going to do that. So I think that's okay, personally.
I agree.
But I know that it's not for the masses, for sure.
Well, I agree with you. I do think that, again, there should be a version of it. And again, it shouldn't just be, oh, that's the problem with the current dungeons. What's the difference between the normal dungeon and the Elvia one? A sponge. It's a bigger sponge. The mechanics are exactly the same. It's not any different. You're literally just like trying to DPS check it with more gear. It's miserable. It's not a good experience. Okay. But the difference between Deposed Crown Prince normal, which I cleared first on the server, by the way, that morning.
And nice.
Deposed Crown Prince
very
hard.
Very nice.
And Deposed Crown Prince hard, which Choice cleared first, like 2.5 months later. He was the first one on the server, as far as I'm aware, to clear it, right? Because it had new mechanics and it was super challenging. However, and Blonde's right, bro. You still strive for that. They really strive for that. Like, everyone went in on try, like, everyone in their party, and a lot of people looked at it and were like, damn, I really want to try to be the first ones to do that, or we really want to try to do that. You know what I mean? That's good, and I agree with you, Blonde. But there needs to be an aspect of it, and again, just like the other dungeons, where there's, like, an easier version with less mechanics, or like not as hard mechanics that are easier to do. And then there needs to be the hard, like 790 gear score. And then there's extra mechanics at every boss that make you sweat your booty off the whole time. Mm-hmm. Again, the difference between the two difficulty modes should not just be the current dungeon, which is, oh, well, it's just a more
with
of a damage sponge, right? Yeah, higher It should be what Deposed Crown Prince is. It's because that's a good example of endgame content that makes people grind harder to get to that content so that they can experience it at the level that they just see the streamer or their friends experiencing it.
I agree. And to that point, and to Jay's point as well, Jay said, oh my gosh, it's taken them 4 years. I mean, I agree. It has taken them a hot minute. But when you compare the content of Dungeon 1 to then Dungeon 2, which was kind of a massive leap. Dungeon 1 is for sure an HP sponge. Dungeon 2 now is an HP sponge because I think we overgear it. But at the time, there were so many mechanics you're juggling. It was crazy. Yeah. At the time that you had the gear score relevant for it, I think it was like actually challenging, and you had to do all the mechanics and stuff. And then Dungeon 3 was like more of an endurance test of like, okay, we've got all these mechanics and all these mobs and all these little things you gotta do. It really is. The final boss fight in the third dungeon is like takes forever. There's like three phases, then you got the two minions, and then you got the final minion, but then you got the four minions in the beginning. It's like, what the f*** is going on? It's been a while since we had that. Then we got all these boss modes, and although a majority of them end up being easy and we're pushing like record-breaking times, it's insane. I think that when you look at those bosses, the design between normal and hard are different, and there's extra mechanics and stuff, and then Prince is especially on another level specifically. I think that's gonna, I hope that's what the dungeon's tied to. And they may have an easier mode, they just haven't mentioned it, because the target that they're trying to be is like, this is gonna be crazy, you gotta get this gear to do this. But we won't know until they obviously show it, release it, or tell us, you know what I mean? So I'm thinking that it's gonna be nuts. I hope it is. I hope the baby mode dungeon is like, you walk in and you hit it, and it's like, okay, that was cool, it's an experience, and I hope the hard mode is like genuinely on the level of Prince, because I think that as frustrating as it was to sit there for like 2 months bashing our heads into a wall, once you've done it, oh man, the feeling is so satisfying. See, going to the leaderboards and seeing you're one of only two or three teams clearing it on the guild leaderboards. There's some teams that aren't on guilds that are clearing it, but you just don't see those times because it wants you to be in guilds for it. But yeah, I think that's an incredible feeling. And I think that's what people should, if they're interested in that part of the content, they should strive for that stuff for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there should be dungeon leaderboards too for that kind of, the really end game stuff. Because again, you get to get rewarded for that kind of stuff. And people that are 790 gear score or whatever, that's, again, that's something worth grinding for. But the problem is, what I'm worried about is they've coded it for the 790 people. And then if they get the feedback that more people want to do it, all they're going to do is make it less of a damage sponge. That's not what we want. We want the end game players to have their end game content. I'm not trying to be like, complain that, oh, we have 790 content. No, you need to give people something to grind for so they can do the lower end version, but now they want to grind and do the upper end version, which is much significantly harder mechanically. So, because like there's portions of this that there's layers of this, right? Because not only do you need to have more gear, you also need to have better knowledge and understanding of the boss, and you also need to have better knowledge and understanding of your class, all of which comes with time grinding the game, right? So, I don't think that Blonde, you 6 years ago could probably not have cleared Deposed Crown Prince with your Berserker like you did recently, right?
Yeah, not even close.
Right? But like those not years of experience helped you.
Yeah, we actually did do it on the Berserker today. Yeah. I didn't think I'd be able to clear it on the Berserker when I was doing it recently, because Dosa is kind of a hard carry class, but today I did do it on the Berserker. Now, Ray was carrying with the Ranger, okay? But yeah, we did kill it on the Berserker, which is terrifying. Yeah, there's no shot. No shot I would have been able to do this years ago. I mean, I didn't think I could do it 4 or 5 months ago when I saw it come out. I was like, oh, that's not something I'm going to do. But through the power of friendship, you know, I was motivated enough to get gear to go do it. Now I have a blast.
Yeah, I would totally do it.
It definitely made you a lot, like, it improved so much of your, I don't know, what is it, cognitive stuff. Like, you know, your faster reaction times. You understand your stamina management a lot better. Your cooldown management.
Yeah.
Your, like, IVs.
Yeah, that's cool. It's crazy.
All of that so much more after you, like, get it down.
There's no thing in BD. I think it's probably arguably harder than PvP, I'd say, to, like, the highest level almost. Other than the fact that it's rhythmic. So, like, PvP is more of, like, a everything can change and happen at any moment versus this is, like, a static. This is always fixed, but it's still really difficult because the boss can do kind of random things. Yeah, it's like a dance. I think that this is definitely like on another level. It's insane.
PvP, but you don't have to fight another player this time. You get to fight the AI.
Literally, yeah. And it's like, super fun.
It should show you that they really did nail that. They nailed that content. We want more of that. That's what we want, right? Where, like, you have, like, the easier version when, like, people like me were able to clear on the first try, and then you have other people that have to strive for months to try to clear the other version, even with really high gear score, you know? It's not just a damage sponge. The Calamity is also a good example. What's the difference between C1 and C5? Literally nothing. Like, just a sponge. Just do more damage, right? He just gets extra HP. What's the damage between C5 and C7? Nothing. Finally, at C8, I think you start to see new mechanics. Right, they're starting to understand why people like endgame PvE content like that, and also this is kind of infinite because you could also add kind of what World of Warcraft does, like mythic,
right?
Like you could add mutations to it, where like there's added extra things that like you can stack. Like you're gonna get more rewards if you complete it, but there's this extra thing, like you can't use potions or your healing is cut in half or whatever, right? Like, there's, like, you can't use your ultimate, or you can't use your class buffs, whatever. There's, like, extra things on top of it that, like, make it even harder, right? That's the kind of stuff that we want to see for endgame content. I do not think that gating a Taraxian behind that much gear score altogether for literally everyone, I don't think that that's fun. I don't think that that's a good idea.
To give it the benefit of the doubt, or devil's advocate, I think that right now, we're in a really weird time where, other than like DSR and Dolan's 2, they're really, and I guess now Pig, there really isn't a big reason to push gear score. There's a lot of people that aren't even close to gear cap that absolutely are A, unkillable, or B, can kill anything they want to. So I think that when you're looking at it right now, it's like, I don't understand why would they do this, but I think it's like farther out in the scope of like, this kind of has to be here because there really isn't like something to push for. For a long time, every time they release new content, we go like when the boots came out, the boot spot, right? Everybody rushed over there. Everybody's going for it. It was crazy for the first 2 weeks. And then after that, it just slowly kind of died down because we don't have anything in the game that we're like, unless it's a new treasure coming out, there's nothing like anybody's like really, oh, I gotta go at like the like mid end game to end game level of like stuff versus like the new player always has like a million things to do. I just think it feels like I feel like for the average player there's a ton of stuff on their list, and I feel like for the end game players, people that are like for example content creators that put a lot of time into the game, I feel like they're kind of sometimes at a loss of like, you know, where is this aimed for? And this is supposed to be, again, this is supposed to be something that's at the final top of the stairs of things to get to. But I do agree they should have like a stepping stone version of like, hey, this is a taste of the content. If you want some of the real stuff, you got to get some gear, you know? And this is one of those motivators because prior to Prince, I wasn't really motivated to get gear. I like swapped my weapons over, swapped my accessories over, and then I was like, okay, I can already do any grind spot I want to, and it doesn't feel any better or worse if I go from like level 5 weapon to level 8. I'm like, okay, the glow's cool, but I'm not feeling stronger, so like I don't really care that much. Like I'll go for treasures, but then I got all the treasures, so now I'm like kind of like whatever. And I think that this is like kind of fixing that problem or addressing a little bit of it to be like, oh, now I kind of want to get a little more gear because it'll make that dungeon run smoother or something like that. That's the same thing I was with Prince, so this could be a little bit of that and maybe not hitting the mark, but still being in the ballpark of like, this is a general motivator with five other things that are going to try and motivate you, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they can hit that motivation. And to be clear, I think that pretty much every content creator that has to stream the game full time, their new content is to just start over again.
I've seen a lot of people doing that, yeah.
Whether it be to go from NA to EU or EU to NA or to do an Iron Man, to do a hardcore, or it's pretty much all of us are like, okay, well, we got nothing to do. Time to just go ahead and do it all over again. You know what I mean?
There's a capturing the magic of the early game. That's something really fun to do, right? There's just so many things, and you got priority lists. And so that's why, like, a lot of people, like, when they come up with new modes in RuneScape, for example, they like hit, like, you know, oh, they played a main. Oh, now there's Iron Man. Oh, now there's Hardcore Iron Man. Now there's Ultimate Iron Man. Now there's Group Iron Man. And every time they restart, because they're like, oh, this is a fresh, new, fun experience. I'm doing the magic again. Maybe there's some things sprinkled in that I want to do that's new that I can, like, oh, what is the perspective now? I think that's a real thing that definitely happens. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. Should PA maybe make their own version of a not a sponsored, but like their own version of making a character that's like locked into that stuff? I don't think it would be a terrible thing, because I think that's like one of the funner things about games is doing a new playthrough. Not necessarily always the newest end gamiest thing, right? The adventure is quite enjoyable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we've gone through Ataraxian. We've gone through most of what's in the dev note. Let's talk about what was in the rest of the dev note very quickly. And I say quickly because they also glossed over it. Gear presets. We have no date available. It is coming, but just like it has been for the last 2.5 years. So again, they've been telling us that gear presets have been coming for, again, they hinted at it about 2.5 years ago, and it's still like, oh yeah, soon, TM. Yeah, okay, buddy. And then they brought up the RGB black stars, which I'm like, holy shit, I thought they forgot.
Yes.
About the different colored black stars. That's amazing, dude. When are we getting those? And they're like,
we're not.
You're not. Okay, moving on. Like, I was like, there's no way that you brought it up and then didn't, and then said that you're not getting it. Like, okay, sounds good. So, yeah. So, like, the rest of the dev note was basically, you're not getting any of this stuff. Or we have no date and you're still not going to get any of this stuff. Also, there was no talk about the new expansion at all, which tells me I actually don't think we might not get an expansion this year. I'll be honest.
Between like the two poisons, would you rather have them just glossed over and not talk about it, or mention that they're not going to do it between the two?
Well, at this point, they should just have said that forever ago. That's the problem, is they waited, like, what? They told us about RGB Black Stars over a year ago.
It was a long time. Yeah, it was back in Land of Wood and Light. Back when it was in Land of Wood and Light dev commentary, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, here's this thing. And then, like, and then we just never got it. It was Land of the Morning Light Part 1 dev commentary, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Part 1.
Yeah, it was the Part 1 one.
So, like, why wouldn't you just tell us, like, sooner, like, yeah, guys, we're really sorry, but, like, apparently it's just not going to work. But here's how they could have phrased it. Yeah, we can't do that, but we'll make your next weapon really shiny, because we didn't even know about Sovereign yet, right? Like, that would have been a fine way to do it. Instead, they waited, like, 2.5 years, and then they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're never getting that. Like, okay, sounds good. What about Server Wars? I'm still waiting for an update on that. So that was the rest of the dev note. Again, that's why I gave it such a low grade. I do think that they have had some great ideas in there, some phenomenally designed content, but they just found the L. They just kept finding the L every single time. They had me in the first half, and then they would just immediately ruin it. It was just miserable. But
I think that if they had coupled the bad news with some good news after, like, let's say, yeah, we're not doing the extra color effects for Blackstar, but we're gonna do this other cool cosmetic thing for your weapon or for your armor or something like that, to have like a, you know, make up for it, you know, for the time that you've been waiting. So, but there was
I think they unironically they talked about it, and the guy that's in charge of the color design and costumes and stuff is not talking to the guy that's creating the new gear, and he's like, oh, they're gonna love this, I just figured out a way so we could color their black stars, and they do that announcement, and then the guy that's making the weapons is like, what are you doing? No, they're getting a new weapon, you can't do this.
kind of makes sense.
You can't possibly do this. Why did you not tell me? And the guy's like, bro, they've been wanting something like this. They love coloring their gear. Why wouldn't you like that? And the guy's like, no, they got a new weapon coming. You have to cancel. And I think they literally were like, oh shoot, Yeah, I think it's a total misfire, and it's two different departments that accidentally just fricked each other, and now PA, the whole of PA is taking the heat. And it's probably so now they're probably just trying to sweet. They're like, listen, as long as we don't talk about it, we can just eventually release it in the cash shop. We'll just put in the cash shop. We've done the dances. Now we can get maybe a ability recolors, maybe the weapon recolor, maybe a special dye that does that. Yeah, that's dude, what I'm thinking, bro.
It's like you were there, Blonde. It was like,
dude, if that's what happened, I would die. Like, you imagine if one guy slaving that away, like,
right.
I finally got sovereign coated in yellow. Guys, check this out. I got the weapon to glow yellow on all 28 classes. I haven't been able to figure out how to do the rest of the colors yet, but on all 28 classes, I can do yellow, which looks really cool. And they're like, oh, shit. Because they just announced that they could do every color for literally Blackstar, right?
Literally. Like, that would be so... It would be really funny if it was something as simple as that. Because, like, it wouldn't be the guy that's making the gear progression being in the same... I mean, unless they got they all talk to each other, which I think we all know that PA has a weird communication issue within their own system. It's true. Like, there's no shot... I could totally believe that, like, the guy that's doing the coloring or the design or that stuff is totally separated from the guy that's, like, actually putting in the game design and the numbers and releasing the new weapons. Like, I feel like that's definitely gotta be two separate guys. Or they're, again, just trying to figure out a way to monetize it, which I don't necessarily blame them for. It does suck that they've already announced it, so it's like, you shouldn't be monetizing something you already said we were gonna get, but I don't think it would be the worst thing ever. It would be a way to monetize that isn't centered around Kronz, which is a W in my book every time, so... Yeah.
Yeah. Not centered around Kronz. It's crazy. I will say again, I think that people would pay through the teeth to make their weapons glow any color that they wanted, or even just another color.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you allowed them to change their skill effects, which by the way is possible, despite with them not telling us, because they have that in like some of the old Halloween outfits.
Yeah, I thought that was so weird that they said, hey guys, you can't do this because...
Yeah.
Because it's just impossible. And I guess when they say like impossible, they're saying we have to do it all. So we don't want to. We can't just change it. We have to like actually rebuild it from the ground up. And I'm like, okay, so we're just lazy here. You don't think it's worth the investment? You don't want to do it? It's not that you can't. You just don't want to. Okay. All right. I see how it is.
Crimson Desert's going to come out and they'll just monetize that instead. It'll be fine.
I don't think that's gonna go anywhere. I think that game's gonna be like, oh cool, anyways. That game is not gonna be anything anywhere. It makes me so sad that they put, yeah, for sure, bro. Like, how many games have come out in the last year that's like the super casual friendly stuff but nothing anybody else wants? Like Avowed is like that casual game but nobody really cares about. There's right, so yeah, I think this is going to be the same. It's just going to be BDO combat and single player, which, I mean, is basically BDO, but I'm just saying, I think it's going to all be the same.
But
it's
going to
be so boring.
Well, here's the deal.
We'll see. Listen, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I could be proved wrong.
Well, they announced that Crimson Desert will release as a single player RPG at the end of this year, final quarter of 2025, probably in December. However, it's going to be turned into, very shortly after they release it, they said they're going to turn it into an online multiplayer. And really? They said that they're going to introduce a cash shop. Yeah, no, this was... They said they wanted it to be like... they wanted it to be like Grand Theft Auto. They literally said GTA 6 or GTA 5. They literally said that. So my guess...
What?
My guess is that they don't want PvP necessarily. Let's not get the PvPers excited. But you should be able to play cooperatively. Yeah, you should be able to play cooperatively with other people and like do quests and shit with other people. And again, this was an official announcement. It's on my channel. You can cover it. Like I covered it back when they said it. Again, Blonde is like, world is like opening up in front of his eyes. So like, they can't say that it's going to be a replacement to BDO. That would be really bad. And it's not necessarily going to replace BDO in many respects. However, being able to play cooperatively with people in an endgame PvE environment has potential in a Black Desert universe with better graphics, upgraded engine, and you know, stronger storyline and everything. It does have potential. You have to give it credit.
It does seem appealing. Yes.
Very appealing. Sure. Yeah. I'm so appealed.
You're so appealed.
Are you kidding? Are you actually not going to play it?
No, I don't. I don't think I'm going to play. I'm not even going to. I'm not even going to look at it.
Scope it out and see what the bus is all about.
Yeah, it's just not even close to being on my radar. Maybe I'll see if like it looks fun to play. Maybe, but no.
I mean, all those tags, you know, endgame PVE content, cooperative content.
But there's like a million squad games out there. I'm just like, I don't think. Listen, I've always been of the opinion that PA struck gold accidentally. They were just mining in the mines for coal, and they struck gold and oil in the same place. Okay, I don't think they made the god tier game because they meant to. I think this game is a miracle of chance. So I don't think that anything else they make is going to be, whoa, this is going to be nuts. I've never, ever been of that opinion. I mean, you could just look at, like, literally. Okay, but I mean, just even look at Shadow Arena. Shadow Arena is fantastic, built in BDO. And every person said, this is not going to work outside the game. They released Shadow Arena. That's the only other one. What else they got? It's literally BDO, but cool, guys.
No,
right? You get to do it. It's a battle royale. It doesn't have really battle royales right now. This is gonna be so fun. Yeah. Okay.
Stop it. It is not.
I blocked
like
it out
that,
of my memory.
Dude.
I blocked it.
So yeah. Why would I want to play BDO again? I'm already stuck in this
true,
one,
and
bro.
Not get any rewards for it. Like, what are we?
Yeah,
talking about?
I'm not gonna have any account progression. There's no like actual tiered upgrading system. It's probably gonna be like a God of War thing where you just like collect stuff and put points into it. Ah, man. Listen, if you enjoy it and you like it, more power to you. I hope you have a blast. Personally, me, bro, I'm a RuneScaper now, bro. I'm locked in on that RuneScape. RuneScape and BDO is about
it. Was RuneScape kind of like the same way? Like you said, like, you know, for Pearl Abyss, it was BDO that was like the golden oil or stuff like that. Was Jagex also kind of like the same thing with RuneScape? RuneScape being the oil and coal, what is it, whatever it is.
Jagex manages it now, but at the time, this is a very long conversation, but they didn't make like a ton of other games as far as I know. They have RuneScape and then RuneScape. They have RuneScape and old school RuneScape currently, which RuneScape currently retail is RuneScape 3. Old school is technically RuneScape 2, and then there's private servers for Classic.
Three of them?
There's two official versions. There's private servers for the Classic, and there's private servers for what's called O4scape, which is the graphical update past Classic into what was RuneScape 2, but before it turns into the real good stuff. But
interesting.
I mean, I think they struck gold and they still got it, baby, because who's logged on old school RuneScape right now?
Maybe Crimson Desert would be like the kind of like the RuneScape 2 or the RuneScape 3. And the BDO is like,
I don't know, we'll
cool.
see.
Can I ask, what kind of graphics card do you have in your computer?
I think it's like I think I still have a 3080 Ti.
Yeah, that's insane.
40,
stop playing 40 RuneScape
something.
With it.
Yeah. Listen, quality over quantity. And I'm talking about gameplay quality. More like, pixels does not make a game better, trust me. What is every AAA modern game coming out with the best graphics ever and it all is dookie? No thanks.
True. It's not going to be necessarily based on graphics, but I have much more faith in Crimson Desert than that. Because I think the Pearl Abyss does have it in them to make a phenomenal game, I do. And
I'm hoping that it's a good game.
I hope it's a good game. I will be definitely super surprised. I would like to see it.
How am I the only non-BDO partner? And I'm the one that's excited for Crimson Desert and thinks that Pearl Abyss can do a good job. And then the two BDO partners are like, no, they're just an ass company and they struck gold with this, but their management is terrible. So honestly, Crimson Desert's going to be ass too.
Oh my gosh, everything he just said was true. You hear that, Jay? Oh
my God.
That's what I heard.
How am I the one not in the partner
please,
program?
Please roast us in the comments, please.
That's going to be cooked.
Please, show me the way.
Please.
It's going to be cooked. Anywho, we've been talking for 30 minutes? No, I think it's actually been like an hour and a half. What? It's been an hour and a half?
It's been an hour. Yeah,
oh
it's
my
been an hour
God.
And a half. Yeah.
Okay, are there any topics that you guys
I missed
to
this.
Cover? Yeah, true.
I mean, we could save them for next week because I was going to talk about the end of the winter season Arena of Solaire. I think it just ended. And so, but we could save it for next week's because we're kind of going on late, right?
Yeah, we're a little bit late on this, but
yeah.
Okay. So we'll save it for next week, but guys, let us make sure you like, comment, subscribe on the video, whether you're watching on my channel or Jaycoon's. Mm-hmm. Make sure you comment on the videos. Tell us what your thoughts on the video were. Please no calls for violence. You're more than happy to disagree with us. But yeah, I would chill on the extreme comments, but tell us what you want us to talk about next week. Tell us where you thought that we were idiots or we have it all wrong. Explain it to us. Mm-hmm. Let us
tell
know.
Tell us who you would want to see.
Yeah.
To exactly. Come on a guest as a guest in our, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, true. Tell us who you want to have on the podcast to talk about some of these issues. Yeah. Because let's be honest, Blonde, Jay Kuhn, and I are basically a clown fiesta concoction of content creators. We would love to have extra people onto the podcast that actually know stuff about the game, right, guys? Because we never play the game.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're talking
about. Totally.
We're uneducated. Right. Well, let us know who you want to have on the podcast to discuss the game from their perspective or what issues you guys want to know, because we're looking at having special guests on the podcast next week. Again, the podcast will air either Wednesday or Friday, 8 p.m. CST, but it will always come out Saturday on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well, so that you guys can see it on those platforms. And I think I've covered everything. Let's do outros and closing thoughts. We'll go Blonde first. That way Jay can give us a long outro.
Listen, you can catch me at twitch.tv/blondebear, where I said I do hard mode crown prints. We're doing 2 clears a week, or at least we're trying for it now. And yeah, that's basically a majority of what you're going to see from me, or just chill grinding some random extra treasures because I'm a psychopath. Yeah, and yeah, BDO 9 years, let's go. 10 years next year, we're gonna go 10 more years. 20 years of BDO, 20 yeah. years, 20 years of BDO.com.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a good outro. And I love that outro. Yes, closing thoughts is you know, I hope Hrzekia is as good as they try to make it sound like in the dev commentary. I hope Crimson Desert is as good as Blue Squadron thinks it would be, and 9th anniversary, yup. And my name is Jake and VT, B before the T.
It's gonna be a great game.
You can find me at twitch.tv/JakeandVT, B before the T.
Screw all the doomers.
It's gonna be a great game.
That game is gonna be awesome, bro. Game of the year.
Can someone clip this, and then when it doesn't, you can like refer back to this clip, you know?
Oh, I remember everything.
Are you farming me right now?
Yes, yes, like, thank you.
That game.
Clip it and ship it. I've already put it in the folder in my extra Discord.
That game will be nominated.
Oh, I'm
going to
bring this up later.
Okay, here's the thing. It's going to be released in December, so it won't be nominated for Game of the Year because all games released in December get cooked on But it should get awards. That game's going to get awards. I'm saying it now. I'm going to make a bunch of content for it. It's going to be fun as fuck.
This guy is crazy. This guy is a psychopath, guys.
It's going to be so good.
This guy is crazy.
I will not be playing Black Desert Online when I'm 50, Blonde. They will
be playing old
school
RuneScape. You'll be on RuneScape at that point. I promise.
This will be the RuneScape.
I will see you there. I'm going to make the next... You know how they do the WoW arc with all the Twitch streamers? I'm going to make them do a RuneScape arc, and it's going to be glorious. You're going to have to play it. I'm going to message Soda Pop in here in just a moment right after this, because I'll get it. I'll get it. I'll make it happen. I'll get you on RuneScape.
All right. Well, from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, guys... I guess I'll do my own outro. There's 2 new YouTube videos every day. I do primary content for BDO and Throne of Liberty, but I also do some current events and stuff that's going on in the gaming sphere. Either way, you got access to all that content on YouTube. We're going to be starting to stream on an alt account as well. We either will stream on YouTube. So I want to stream other games. I do. But I also don't want to just like force people to watch it. So like my options are stream on an alternate Twitch account, right? Or stream on YouTube. On Twitch, so pros and cons very quickly, because I'm curious what people's thoughts on this are in the comments, because my YouTube audience is different than my Twitch audience, and if you made it to the end of the video, you're the people that I'm talking to anyway, and then my Twitch audience, it would be good to know what you guys think too. Pros and cons: streaming on YouTube, obviously you're already visiting the YouTube channel, so it's easy to see when I'm streaming and you could technically tune in. Right, easy win. And also I would be off the ground a lot faster. I'd probably have a lot more average viewers on YouTube initially on the alt channel. The pros of the alternate Twitch channel, yeah, it would be a lot slower to get off the ground and stuff, but I could help promote it with my main channel and stuff, but I could also demonetize it basically completely. So like no ads, no associate, no affiliate, no partner, whatever. And so people could just watch without having to watch any ads or anything, and they could just watch me play whatever game that I was going to watch or ever going to play, like Monster Hunter, Naraka, Blade Point, God forbid, League of Legends. I don't know. I don't even want to finish saying the word. But like any other game, Kingdom Come Deliverance would be good too. I'm looking for a place to kind of stream those games and kind of give people more content for the week. So let me know if you guys want the alternate Twitch channel or if you want the YouTube channel. Again, YouTube's probably easier for people.
You should
to
stream
find.
On Facebook.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. That was your contribution? That right there?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're welcome.
Kick, you're crazy.
Another option.
Kick, I'm not planning on breaking any laws, so it doesn't really make sense to stream on Kick. All that being said, let me know what you guys think in the comments. Two new YouTube videos every day. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.